This Advent, looking at John chapter 6, teaches us about the necessity in Advent of ourselves becoming less in order to make room for Jesus, a Messiah who can and will save our souls and our earth, but only if we are to become less. Less sinful, less egotistical, less certain, less knowledgeable, all sorts of opportunities for him to become more and ourselves to become less. This indeed is what the disciples ask Jesus in verse 60. Remember that Jesus has just been preaching on the theme of communion and has used very graphic imagery of eating his flesh and drinking his blood in such a memorable way that many of his followers are terrified, are horrified, are confused and grossed out, so much that many disciples choose to leave. On hearing this, verse 60, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And then 6 verses later, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. That's not the 12. Jesus had more disciples than the 12. He had a wider group of people, and many of them did not like and did not accept this teaching. What this tells me is that followers of Jesus have to become less for his coming. We have to be less certain because that is what prevented the disciples from totally following Jesus. And if we're honest, that's really what prevents us all from coming to Jesus. We love Jesus, but we hate becoming less in ourselves. Especially at Advent time, we hate becoming less because there's something about it that rebels within us. If we read that the stock market is up, we are to celebrate. To which the prophets and Jesus reply, "How are you caring for your neighbor?" Or, "I'm making my Christmas list and I've got all my toys on it." And I've got all these, and the toys, of course, well, for most people, the toys become more mature. The Christmas list that I have still has toys all over it, right? And I've got Christmas toys all over my list of things that I think would be really cool for me to get. Yet my wants and my needs, my heart's just not in it when I realize that those toys really don't bring back those simpler days of youth and really can't bring back the Christmases I spent with grandmother and grandfather. So my needs have to become less, and Jesus has to become more. A Christian couple a few years back agreed to become less because they agreed that they really didn't need anything anymore. Sure, it was nice to have stuff, but they didn't need anything. So they agreed that on Christmas time, they would focus on what they had spent in the past years, and they would give that to the poor around the world. Because Jesus was born poor, and they decided that since they didn't need anything in their family relationship, that they would spend $100 on their holiday for all their family and friends. Now, they didn't have any kids, but they voluntarily decided that they would spend $100. So that meant for their parents, they had to make presents instead of buying them, and for each other, that they had a limit. Now, this was a Christian couple. They did this as a witness to the wealth that they had received. And they weren't really well off, but they weren't in bad shape either. They were comfortably middle class. And so they talked about this $100 Christmas. And the first response that, now remember, they're Christians, so they attend church. The first response that their parents and church members had was that they must be lying and that they must be in financial trouble. And they kept finding that people tried to slip them $20 here and there. People coming up from no place and just, "Here, this is something you probably need this year." And they're like, "No, that's not the point. We're not struggling. We just decided that we needed to focus on Jesus and that our needs and our wants had to become less. Less time watching television equals more time talking to Christ in prayer. I would submit to you that all of the heroes of the Christian faith became less of themselves to make themselves greater. They made less of themselves to serve God and humankind. I went to St. Vincent College in the 90s. St. Vincent College was founded by the Benedictines. St. Benedict was a man in Italy who gave up his fortune and his family and a girlfriend in order to found the Benedictine order. He decided that he couldn't really follow Jesus and he couldn't really get a group of people around him to follow Jesus unless he gave up all these things that were distracting him. And now look at the benefits. Look at the fruit of having St. Vincent in our own backyard. And there are Benedictine colleges and universities worldwide. Mary, I am certain, the Virgin Mary, I am certain, had plans the day before she was told that she was going to give birth to Jesus. The day before Gabriel showed up, I am certain that Mary had plans that did not include being an unwed mother and pregnant. I am certain she had goals. I am certain that what she was planning on doing 9 months from the time that Gabriel showed up had nothing to do with giving birth. She had plans, but she chose to become less so that Christ could become more. Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, when he decided that he would translate the Bible into the language of the people so that everybody could read it, that was so controversial and that was so radical that the Holy Roman Empire and all the forces of the Roman Catholic Church in that day decided that he should be put under threat of execution. And Martin Luther had to put his safety aside. He had to become less in order that the gospel could go forward. The crowds in this story, as we talked about with the children, the crowds in this story did not want to become less. They had an idea of who Jesus was, but they were wrong in their idea. They wanted, we're told in verse 15 of chapter 6, they wanted to make Jesus king. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him a king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The crowds, they wanted to preside. They wanted to decide how Jesus was going to be king. They wanted to tell Jesus who he was going to be and how he was going to wear the crown and how he was going to be their leader and how he was going to throw the Romans out of Israel. And Jesus disappointed his followers. Do you ever think of that? He disappointed his followers who thought that they would get a good appointment to a plum position in Jesus' cabinet. They expected a king who would restore Israel to its past glory. But Jesus rejected every one of those images, every one of those ideas. Jesus decided not to vindicate a cause, or even a nation, or a people. Notice, it's really interesting to me. You read a scripture for, I've read John 6 probably hundreds of times in my life. Notice that Peter calls Jesus the Holy One of God, which doesn't sound like much on the face of it, but somebody pointed out to me this week that Peter doesn't call Jesus the Holy One of Israel, which would have been appropriate, which could have been his title, but he calls him the Holy One of God. And the reason for that is that the kingdom of God is the kingdom to which Jesus is king of. The kingdom of God is the one that is victorious, not the kingdom of Israel, not the Roman Empire, not even my own politics and my own understanding. Jesus is the Holy One of God because God is the one who is vindicated in the kingdom. God is the one who is victorious in the kingdom. And it is hard. It is inexpressibly difficult for us to become less in order to let Jesus become more. In fact, I would propose to you that the disciples kind of throw up their hands when Jesus asks the 12, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter's answer is sort of a strange kind of answer. He says, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." To put it another way, Peter says, "What option do we have?" It's a very strange answer. We are out of options. You are the only one who shows us God's kingdom. And God's kingdom and Jesus' advent into our world is not created by my human discovery or my human initiative or my human program. So the question becomes, what role do we humans play as we wait for Jesus' advent? What role do humans play as we wait for Jesus coming again? Note that I said we have to become less, but I didn't say that we have to become nothing. That's an important distinction. We humans have a role to play, and it's remarkable to me that God Almighty, who created the farthest star and the farthest planet in our solar system and every cell, uses us, uses human beings to be part of that kingdom. God uses us at Advent to shed light. What we are to do is to illuminate His love. Because every moment in your life, from this day forward, every moment is a potential moment when Christ returns. Every moment is a potential advent of Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you will, that you knew Jesus Christ was coming back in 10 minutes. How would you treat that coworker that you can't get along with at work if you knew that Christ would come back in 10 minutes from finishing that conversation with her? Wouldn't that radically change how you interacted with people at work? Or how would you do that one finger wave that people do when they're driving, right? How would you do that one finger wave with that person that cut you off in traffic if you knew that Jesus Christ was sitting in their back seat? Would that change your road rage and anger? The poor on the street look different if Jesus Christ comes back tomorrow. The person who is sick in the hospital looks entirely different if Jesus comes back in 15 minutes. Jesus challenges us by saying, your image of who Jesus is must become less. And like we said with the kids, the only way you can do that is by letting Jesus Himself tell you. The only way you can let Jesus become more and us become less is to let Jesus speak the words, to let Jesus call the tune of the pitch pipe. The only way to let Jesus become more is to let my image of the kingdom of God, what I think it should be, to go. I've got to let that become less, while at the same time letting God show me the true kingdom and how it can become more. So the challenge for human beings in this Advent time, the challenge for us is to listen to Jesus and then to follow Him in our deeds, because He is truly the Holy One of God, not the Holy One of Israel, not the Holy One of my particular preferences, not the Holy One of the rich or of the poor or of this nation or that nation or any nation, but rather He is the Holy One of God. And because of that, we learn a whole lot about what the kingdom of God looks like. Amen.